Thank you so much for that weak hand clap. I appreciate it. Thank you, Megan. We appreciate you. We're going to give her a hand clap. She's doing a great job. And also those singers. Let's praise and appreciate those singers. It's so good to be with you young people on this Wednesday morning. I hope that you are doing well and studying hard, just coming off of spring break. And I once sat where you sit, and so I do know how it is, and I'm glad to be a part of sharing with you. And I hope that you are ready to just hear something from the Lord. Take a little break from class and come to chapel and just hear from the Lord. So good to, as I said, to see you. And you know, I'm from the hood now, so every now and then I'll be asking for an amen. So I'll be sitting up here acting like you get lectured with your professors. I'm not here to lecture you today. I'm here to preach. All right. Give you a little change of pace here, but it's so good to be with you. And I want to just get into the word. They've asked me to share from the book of Judges, which is a fascinating, you know, book to say the least. But before I do, some of the music people heard this. I'm going to share a story I shared with the first session, the first chapel service. And I just want to challenge you all to really live out your faith, for God to really know who you are at all times. So at all times, does God recognize you? And I gave them just as a joke, so I want you to prepare to laugh. But I wanted to make sure that at all times God recognizes you. And so don't be like this one lady. She had a heart attack and was rushed to the hospital and had to have surgery. And so she asked God, am I going to die? And God said, no, you're not going to die. You got another 43 years and 3 months to live, so you're good. And she said, well, praise the Lord. She figured, well, since I'm in the hospital, I might as well get a tummy tuck. And I might as well get some Botox. And she got her eyebrows lifted. And she got a little, you know, her cheeks elevated a little bit. And just got kind of cosmetically fixed herself up real good. And she liked what she saw when she looked in the mirror. So she was leaving the hospital, man. And she's walking across the street. She gets hit by an ambulance. And she dies. And she goes to heaven, and she says, God, what happened? You told me that I had another 43 years and 3 months to live. Why did you let that ambulance hit me? And God said, girl, I didn't recognize you. So I hope that God recognizes you at all times. Come on, somebody. All right. Hope that God recognizes you at all times. Laughter does well like medicine. Amen. Let's look at the word of the Lord. The fascinating book of Judges, been asked to share with you out of the third chapter from the New King James Version of the Bible. I want to read for you, beginning with verse 7. So the children of Israel, watch the text, did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals, Asherahs. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan Rishathaim of Mesopotamia. That's the king. And the children of Israel served Cushan Rishathaim 8 years. When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel, who delivered them, Othniel and the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. He judged Israel. And let me read the 11th, top part of the 11th verse, the first clause. So the land had rest 40 years. Here this judge, this young man who had no claims to fame, judges Israel, defeats the king there in Canaan, because God raised them up to do so. Father, for the next few moments, I ask that you'll bless this word for your people in your name. Amen. I want to talk to you young people from this subject. And if I ask for an amen, don't act like I'm speaking Spanish. I want you to say amen. We're gonna get some noise up in here today. Yeah, come on. That's what I'm talking about. I might have you dance for me in a minute, girl. You know where I come from. Where I come from, we shout and dance. And you know, I was in a Presbyterian church. I've been all over preaching. It's been a blessing to see the different cultures. And it got a little loud, and they turned my mic down. I think they did that earlier this morning, as a matter of fact. Don't do that again. I'm not. And I told those Presbyterians, turn that mic up. You need some noise in here. All right, so let's get a little noise going in here. I want to talk on the subject. There are some things you just don't forget. There are some things you just don't forget. My brothers and sisters, young men, young ladies, I want to remind you of something, that God is majestic. I want to remind you that his greatness is limitless. As a matter of fact, Psalm 145 and 5 says, I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. God is phenomenal. God is so much God until nobody made him. The Bible says, before in the beginning, God was. God was in the beginning, before the beginning began to be, God already was. Now you figure that one out. He didn't begin, he always was. He has no origin. He's God. He's supreme and he's sovereign. He's in command of the universe. Irrespective of what you see, God is in command. Nothing gets to happen without his approval. As a matter of fact, he has not some, but all power. He has all power. Luke 1:37 said, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And so I want you to grab that, that you serve a God who can exceed your expectations. He can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you ask or think. You've got to believe that. God is so amazing. You know, there's manpower. You know, we have horsepower. We've got electrical power. We've got financial power. We've got political power. We've got atomic power. We've got military power. But none of them combined match the omnipotent power of God. There's nobody like him, nowhere, no way, no how. And as that old country man said, ain't nobody like God. He's God all by himself. He does what he pleases, when he pleases, where he pleases, why he pleases, and as he pleases. And I want you to know that I can't forget all that God has done for me. And I don't want you to forget all that God has done for you. That's the story of Israel in the book of Judges. They constantly forgot what God had done for them. And I don't know about you, but he's brought me out of some stuff that if it weren't for God, I wouldn't be here right now. Oh, so you're going to leave me out here by myself. Some of you know, if it had not been for the Lord who was on your side, who knows where you would be. Some of you said, how many times, God, if you get me out of this one, I promise. Come on. And you know when he knew when you told him that you was lying to him. Come on here. But he got you out of it anyway because he's good. When I was young and suicidal, wanted to take my life but didn't have the guts to do it, thank God that I got the help that I needed and God healed and delivered me. If it weren't for God staying the hand for me, I wouldn't be here right now. God is good to me. And I can't forget his goodness. I can't forget God. I shall not forget God. He's done so much for me. He'd done so much for Israel. Look at Israel. Israel were his chosen people. They'd spent 400 years in captivity. And so now God says, I'm going to deliver you through Moses. He raises up Moses. He delivers him out of Egypt. He uses 10 amazing plagues to get Pharaoh's attention. And so they go, they exit out of Egypt by the droves, and Pharaoh decides, I don't want to do this. I'm gonna go back and reclaim these people. And so here they're in the middle. They're between Pharaoh's army coming and pursuing them in the Red Sea in front of them. They're wondering what to do. And God said, man, trip, stop tripping. Don't even panic. Don't even trip. I got you, Moses. Just what Moses? You got something in your hand. What is it? He said, it's a rod. He said, here's what I want you to do. Check this out, Moses. Here's what I want you to do right here. I want you to stretch out that rod and watch your boy go to work for you. Come on, somebody, and help me. And he stretched out the rod, and the waters congealed, and here they go walking across on dry land, man. And God consumes and drowns the army in the Red Sea. And then they get across, and they encounter the wilderness and they got all these issues that they go through and they're complaining and murmuring. I know none of you young people complain and murmur to your parents. I know you don't. But they complained and they murmured and complained. They said, well, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. God gave them water out of a rock because they were thirsty. And then he said, you're hungry. I'm going to rain some vanilla wafers out of the sky for you. And he gave them vanilla wafers and graham crackers. That's my favorite right there. And just blessed them real good. And God kept proving himself to Israel. He kept showing how amazing and how wonderful he was. But they had a proclivity to forget. And such is the case in the book of Judges. They kept forgetting God. So here they are. The Judges is the goodness of God towards unworthy people. That's the essential essence of it. The goodness of God towards unworthy people. Israel relegates themselves to a vicious cycle in the book of Judges. Now, you know, Joshua had just gone off the scene. Here we are in the third chapter, but Joshua had gone off the scene. And there's an important read in the second chapter, verses 10 and 11 says, when all the generation that had gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them that did not know the Lord, nor the works which he had done. And then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. Young people, I want to tell you, don't be a generation that doesn't know God. Your generation, to a great extent, does not know the God of your father and your parents and grandparents. Your generation is looking to do everything but know God. Your generation, some of them call themselves him and her and them and they. And it's a confusing time that we're living in, but this is the time when God is saying, I want to use every young person in here to do something, to ignite revival, to ignite revolutionary change, to do some unprecedented thing. You got to believe that you're not here by accident. You're here by God's divine providence. And God is telling you, don't forget me, because I am about to blow your mind. And when I do it, don't forget it was me who did it. So here's the cycle that Israel went through the book of Judges. They would go into apostasy or disloyalty to God. They would forsake the Lord their God and the Lord, the God of their fathers that had brought them out of Egypt. They forsook that God, and they would begin to do something that really angers God. They worshiped other gods. Then I'm going to tell you, God is like, I'm going to tell you, Israel, when he's talking to each of us, thou shalt have no other God before me. Here's what I am. I'm a jealous God. God's the only one that gets to be jealous. He doesn't like to share his glory, young people. He doesn't like to share his glory. He and only he wants your praise. He don't want nobody else getting your praise but him. And so Israel took their praise and gave it to an idol God who had done nothing for them. They lost their way. And so God became angry with them. And so what he did, he oppressed them by sending enemies to overtake them and do them harm, because God had to, it was his judgment upon them. He had to get their attention so he would judge them, and he would cause them to go into an oppression, and then he would deliver them into the hands of his enemies after they had left him and served other God. He delivers him, here's the cycle, into the hands of their enemies. And then the second part of the cycle is they cry out to God, Lord, I'm sorry. God, if you help me. God, if you get me out of this. God, I promise I'll do better. God, I need you. I can't make it without you. We only pray like that when we're in real, real, real trouble. Somebody help me. But I want to pray like that when there is no trouble. So God, they cried out to God, and guess what? They repented. And here's how the cycle went. God forgave them. He responded to the repentant by raising up a judge. And a judge was a deliverer. A judge was one that came and brought them and went to battle for them and helped them to defeat their enemy. Othniel is going to be the first judge that we see in our text today. So they would get delivered. And then after God delivered them, they would forget the faithfulness of God and fall right back into the unfaithful circle. That's Judges in a nutshell. But there are some things you just can't afford to forget, young people. You can't afford to forget God. How many know he healed you? How many, anybody here know that God touched your body? Anybody know, you don't raise your hand on this one. If some people had found out, your life would have been over, but God protected you. Anybody in here know? I was telling them I don't share things too often, and I'm kind of rushed with this clock, but I had an experience about a month and a half ago that just almost took me out, young people. I don't know why. Maybe God wants me to say this. I was having some kind of mental breakdown, and it just came in out of nowhere, and depression overwhelmed me. I'd been going through some things, and a litany of things were kind of bombarding on me, and my God, I was going to a dark place. And so I had to shake myself, and I'm like, God, what is this? And I had to remind myself of all the sermons I've preached over the years, all the Bible that I've read. I had to get myself out of it, because I remember what the word of the Lord said, I'll keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. I laid hands on myself and said, self, now when you talk to yourself, just don't answer, but you can talk to yourself. Self, you're going to be all right. You're not going down. You're not losing your mind. God is healing my mind, and I've come to tell somebody he healed and delivered me and set me free, because he's a God who hears you when you call him. Hallelujah. Now, when they left to go to Canaan, the instructions were, don't covenant with the enemy, tear down their altars, but that's exactly what they did not do. So when you look at Judges, it's the account of Israel's dichotomous behavior and between the death of Joshua and there being no kings. Between the death of Joshua and no kings, they had dichotomous behavior. Everybody was kind of, you know, autonomous, just doing whatever they wanted to do and the way they wanted to do it. They couldn't remain loyal to God. They kept forgetting God. They worshiped idols. They engaged in violence. They spiraled into chaos. Chapters 1 through 3 show the struggle with the death of Joshua, and they couldn't handle that. They struggled with Joshua's death. Then they get here in Canaan, and they forget all about the Torah. They forget all about the laws, all about the scripture that brought them where they are, and all that God had done for them. Israel had conquered and done great things, but God said, when you get into this land, this is for somebody. He said, when you get into the land of Canaan, I want you to destroy everything. God is telling somebody in here, there's something you're going to have to get rid of if I'm going to do what I need to do in your life. You know who I'm talking to. You're going to have to get rid of. But they didn't get rid of everything. And God said, conquer 100% of the land of Canaan. But they would prove to be cataclysmic by not doing so. They left some of them. They left some of the people of Canaan. And it created great distress for them. The book highlights the tragedy of Israel's taking God for granted far too often. And they were obedient and they were disobedient and adulterous. They lost their way. This is what Judges is all about. They forgot their God, and it caused them to be defeated. You know, and one of the problems was they had a lack of leadership, and so they did what was right in their own eyes. But God never wavered in his faithfulness to Israel and his love to Israel, and he doesn't waver in his faithfulness and his love to you. We've let him down. We've broken his heart. We've done those things that were not pleasing to God, but he's been faithful. He's been loyal. He's loved on you when you didn't love on yourself. You don't have a right to forget God. God kept his covenant with Abraham, and he would save Israel from their oppressors throughout these 480-year span of the book of Judges. So the text reminds us that it's dangerous. It's a dangerous thing to disobey and forget God. That's what it tells us. And that there are some things you just can't handle on your own. Israel couldn't get themselves out of trouble. God had to raise up a leader. Young people, get that in your head. I know you're smart, but there are some things you can't handle on your own. The Bible said, Peter said, cast your cares on God because he cares for you. You need God. Now in the church where I pastor, I tell people to look at their neighbor and talk to them. But I'm not going to bother you this morning, but you could tell it to yourself, I need God. I need God. I can't make it without God. We all need godly leadership as well. And that's what happened for Israel. When they got godly leadership, God healed and set them free and delivered them. You need godly leadership. This is what Northwest is all about. It's godly leadership. So in the text, the problem that ignited Israel's spiral is that they forgot the Lord, their God. They forgot him, Megan, all that he'd done for them. They forgot him. And the Bible, the text says they did evil. They did evil. God's people, God, the ones who had seen the miracles of God, that word forget, shakah in the Hebrew, and it literally means to disregard or to not take into account. They stopped taking into account. Instead of taking note of God, they disregarded God. They served the Baals, they served idols, they served wood, they served stone, they served everything but God. And verse 8 said, God became angry with them and he was hot against Israel. Listen, as I said, he's a jealous God, and he raised up the most powerful of all the enemies against Israel. This king, his name meant double wickedness. He was an evil king. He was a wicked king, and he came at Israel with everything, and he was defeating Israel and disrupting and destroying Israel. And they were subjugated to serving this enemy. Why? Because they forgot God. Some of you have a mandate on your life and you can't get away with some stuff. If you do, God will subjugate you to some places you don't want to be. So you might as well say yes to the Lord. I tell you what, he can do more for you than you could ever do for yourself. I so pray for you all. I'm a man who, I used to sit out there, and now I got kids older than you guys. Oh, Lord, that's amazing. And but, you know, I got grandkids and all that stuff, and I'm concerned about this generation. We need to leave a tremendous spiritual legacy with you. And so you know, the enemy, you know, the problem, for every problem that Israel had, there was always a solution. And here it was, they cried out to God. They cried out to God. The text said they cried, and now it was a cry of pain. It was a cry of help. They remembered who God was, and they said, God, we're in pain. We need your help. And God always is ready to hear you when you call him. Why? Because he's faithful. It doesn't matter how many times you fall, you can get back up. It doesn't matter how many times you fail, you can get back up. The Bible said a righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up. You can fall, but you can get back up. You can fall, but you can get back up. You can tell the devil you may have won this round, but you're not going to win this fight. I'm going to win this battle. I'm going to win this victory. I'm going to overcome my struggle. I'm going to overcome my insecurities. I'm going to overcome everything that's trying to impede me. I will be the best version of myself. I will be what God called me to be. I will fight and win. I will not let the enemy have my mind. I will not let him have my career. I will not let him have my future. I will not let him have my life. I will say yes to the Lord. And they cried out to God, and God raised up this judge. God raised up this judge, Othniel. And he was the word judge means a deliverer. It's not one who rules over in that sense, but it's a deliverer. It's a savior. So God has to raise up a savior to get them out of bondage, to get them out of oppression. He fought against the enemy. He fought against the devil. He fought against the king, and Israel won. Why? Because the spirit of the Lord came upon him. The Bible said the spirit of the Lord came upon Othniel. And what you need, young people, is the spirit of the Lord to rest upon you. The power of God came upon him. The power to conquer the enemy came upon him. Why did he need that power? Because he didn't have the skill set in and of himself. He didn't have the resume to do this, but he had a willing heart. He was ready for the anointing to work through him. And God said, this is the man I want. He may not have all the skills, but he's ready. He's willing. He's able. And I can use him. And I'll put my hand on him. And I'll put my spirit on him. And he'll do great exploits for me. Othniel was qualified because God made him qualify. So he overpowered the enemy. Why? Because 1 John 4:4 came to him. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And this is what you got to tell the devil. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. Come on, somebody. Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? If God is for me, nobody can be against me. That's a rhetorical question. Who can be against you? You can try. You can huff and you can puff, devil, but you cannot blow my house down because God is for me. That's why I can't forget God. He's done so many great things. When the The enemy thought he had me. God said, no, 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 you don't. This is my man. And I said, no weapon formed against him will prosper. And so the Bible didn't say the weapon wouldn't form. He said it wouldn't prosper. And so I'm victorious because I believe with Jesus, we need the spirit. We need the power of Almighty God. Jesus said, he preached in Luke 4. He said, he preached, the spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need him to rest upon you. You need him to be in you. You need him to give you supernatural, extraordinary authority. Because when they repented, God remembered them and they found rest, the Bible said. They found rest. And when you come back and remember all that God has done and say, God, I'm sorry for what I have done to get out of your will. I need your anointing. I need your spirit. God restored them. God healed them, and he'll do that for you. God gave them victory. He gave them deliverance. He gave them peace. And so finally, what is the theological message for us today? You know, when you read the Old Testament, you have to take it from the then-ness to the now-ness. What did it mean then? You have to keep it in its context. How do I apply it now? Well, here it is. Here's the message for us today. That God judges sin in all of its forms. If I were you, I'd get that memo at an early age. God judges sin in all of its forms. And he responds to repentance by delivering you. That's the good thing. You better be glad. God is God and not me, because I'd have zapped Israel a long time ago. I'm like, Israel, you keep coming to me, you tripping, man, get out of here, I'm done with you. But God kept forgiving, they kept repenting, he kept forgiving, and I'm so glad because I'm like Israel. I don't know what your testimony is, but I've fallen, I've gone astray, I came back and repented, God forgave me, I went astray, I came back and repented, God forgave me. I've been like that vicious Israel cycle, but I made a decision that it's a paradigm for us that we need to understand that when you forget, when you leave Yahweh, when you leave God, you release God of any obligation to you. When you leave him, when you turn your back on him, when you forget him, he has no obligation to you. In fact, expect judgment. And so conversely, when you challenge and attack the forces of evil and the forces of wrong in the power of God, and when you remember and obey God, expect God to move heaven and earth for you. Hallelujah. Zechariah said it like this. Zechariah 4 and 6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Young people, you are dangerous. You greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You are dangerous. Christ in you is the hope of glory. You got the Holy Spirit in you. You're dangerous to the devil. If you ever really, really, really embrace who's in you, you'll blow the devil's mind. So I can't forget what God has done for me when he sent Jesus on the cross of Calvary to die for my sin, that ignominious and obtuse death when they speared him in his side and suffocated him, spit in his face. Now, that's why I couldn't have went to the cross, because I don't have spit in the face salvation. So that's where the line is drawn. But they spit in his face. They threw rocks at him. Then they took him off that cross and put him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there for 3 days and rose up on the third day and gave you your salvation. So don't forget what he's done for you. Don't forget where he's brought you from. Don't forget how good he's been to you. Don't be like Israel. Don't forget that it was God who did it. Don't forget that it's God who's going to do it. Don't forget that I cannot make it without God. I can make it without a lot of things. God, I need you every step of the way. I'm going to learn from the book of Judges that God, my testimony will not be constantly saying I'm sorry. I'm going to be so appreciative of all that you've done for me that I'm going to be one of those where you just please to say, I'm putting my anointing on this child because this is the one that I can use mightily and greatly for the kingdom. This is the one who understands that the devil is a defeated foe. This is the one who appreciates the fact that I give them wisdom, the fact that I give them life and give them health and strength. And in Jesus' name, I won't forget, I'll be everything that God called me to be. Hallelujah. Would you bow with me? Father, we thank you for these great young men, young ladies who you have ordained for such a time as this. I bless them in Jesus' name. May we learn from the book of Judges. May we learn from Israel's blunders. And may we say yes to you. I speak benediction of prosperity and favor over these young people, that everything they put their hands to, you'll bless it in your name.